Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, everybody. It's so good to be here. I see so many people. And it's God's goodness that has brought us here. I, Ria Zibua, and my colleague, Desta, have come from Nias Island of Indonesia, a small island on the south coast of Sumatra. We are so grateful to be here today. PJEFC has been so wonderful, has been giving us support in various ways, in prayers, as well as in finances. And as we thank God for this goodness that we have experienced, we would like to extend our thanks to you as a church for the partnership the Lord has given us with you. This time, I would like to share with you my reflection on Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. So would you turn to your Bibles with me as I read the passage for us. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hands, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. The main theme of the Bible is God loves mankind. Isn't this beautiful? I love hearing this. Yet, we should not stop just to accept the fact. We should respond to God for the love he shows us. How? Our Bible reading shows us that God loves mankind, and he meant it for the mankind to love him back. The Israelites have been taken captive to a foreign nation, the Babylon, because God has mission in Babylon. He loves this nation. God wants to save this nation through the Israelites' captivity. But in the face of their captivity, the Israelites were trapped in their personal struggles and concerns. All they longed for is to return to their homeland, restored as a nation, and to have the temple and enjoy life. They were so consumed by their self-interest and became so inward-looking to the point that they are no longer available to God for his mission in Babylon among the people they cross paths daily. How sad. A people of God, the chosen nation, is no longer available to the one who loved them so much. But this is not a distant case to us. To us, Nias people. Our island is one of the 12 Christian majority places in Indonesia. Today, 157 years after the gospel penetrated the island, 98% of the population claim to be Christian. In Nias, there are so many churches, over 3,000 Protestant churches, over 500 Catholic churches. Nias could have become a great source of Christian witness to the world, but it didn't happen that way. We have become very nominal, syncretistic, and inward-looking. Salvation in Christ have become more like a slogan than a truth to live. To be involved in God's global mission, this has not been the concern of the church. I remember 2 years ago, I had a conversation with a bishop from the second largest church denomination in our place. We talk about mission. And he said to me, this does not answer the need of the church. I asked myself, isn't it the real need of the church to join God in his global mission? 2 months later, I spoke about mission to the bishop of the largest church denomination in our island. And here is his response. We have other more important work to do in the church. Again, I ask myself, what is more important work for the church to do than to join God in his global mission? I have always believed and understood that when I say I am saved, yet not available for God's global mission, I am actually against God. God loves mankind with one single purpose, which is to enable mankind to love him back. This love finds its expression when we join God in his global mission. We have heard John 3, verse 16, that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so whoever believes in his name should not perish, but have eternal life." As God saves single individual, his eyes is fixed on the salvation of the whole world. He already said this when he called Abraham, "And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." God loves you and me, so he saves you and me. Not only that we have the joy of having salvation, but he meant it that through you and through me, the salvation in Jesus Christ will reach all nations of the world. God calls us to love him by giving ourselves to be his servant. And we ought to be very observant as we do this. What we are doing, what we are going to do, need to be aligned with what God really wants to do in us. And the result must be to reach to the whole nation, that salvation will be experienced by everybody from every nation. We heard in our reading today, God works in the heart of his servant he has called. This servant of God apparently didn't get it quite rightly in the beginning. He was thinking that God has saved him and called him to be his servant, that he would do anything out of his own strength, out of his own love for the people. But God didn't want him to do so. God calls him back. God spoke to him. In verse 4, the servant was saying, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity." He was disillusioned about the effectiveness of his service to the Lord. The servant thought that he has loved God enough, but God spoke to him, wanting him to have the right perspective of his calling. God wants his servant to know that his service must result in the salvation of every nation. Away from this direction will take the servant to labor just in vain and in vanity. God says to him, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. God has set a standard for a love that he wants from us, which is to be available for him in bringing salvation through Jesus Christ to all nations. God has not the only begotten nation, but the only begotten Son for all nations. Nias is one of the nations that God loved so much. In his love, God allowed his only begotten Son came to Nias and saved me, a sinner, despite of all the weaknesses of the church. It happened like this. I started attending children's Sunday school when I was able to walk with my siblings to the church. Back then, I always thought I'm good enough before God because I was not as naughty as my friends. But one day, when I was about 8 years old, I heard a story told by my Sunday school teacher saying, there were two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed, God, I thank you that I'm good, not like other men or even like this tax collector. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then my Sunday school teacher went off saying, Jesus affirmed that the man who said, God, be merciful to me, sinner, went home forgiven. She went further saying, we all have sinned, not good enough before the Lord. If you pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, God will make you right before him. He will make you his child. He will forgive you and he will accept you. Then I understood I was a sinner. And God has helped me. Silently, I prayed the prayer of tax collector. I asked for forgiveness from God. My Sunday school teacher has passed away. But the message she shared with me has helped me to experience God's love daily for 50 years since I heard the truth shared by her. As a child, knowing that God loves me, I thought all for me to do after that is to enjoy life, to just ask God to bless me, and then have fun in life. But one day I read from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. The verse captivated me. It sounded very commanding. I should honor the Lord with my wealth. How, Lord? I have no wealth. I'm only a child. I'm only 11 years old. I asked the Lord, what do I do? The verse troubled me so much and never departed from my thought. I really didn't know what to do. Not long after, I found a letter in our house. I don't know where it was from, even until today. But I saw the letter, and in the letter, it was a picture of a lady sitting on a motorbike. She said, she's a missionary, a new word to me, a missionary. And her work is to tell people about Jesus because there are so many people in the world don't know that God loves them through Jesus Christ. At that, I was so surprised. All along, I understood that everybody in the world belongs to Jesus, because I saw everybody in my small village in Nias goes to church every Sunday. I saw them pray. So what I read in that prayer letter really surprised me. At that time, God reminded me of the troubling verse, "Honor the Lord with your wealth." Huh, what do I do, Lord? And what does this missionary word means to me? Could it be that I can honor you if I become a missionary? That thought came into my mind, but I didn't know then. Nobody told me what to do. 3 years later, I was sitting in our school Christmas celebration when I heard the preacher saying, "The world is progressing so fast, but people are racing to hell because they don't know Jesus. And God needs you to go tell them." I said, "Me?" I felt that the preacher was pointing at me. I go? Where? How? And then God reminded me again of the troubling verse, "Honor the Lord with your wealth." And the other word, missionary. What are the connection between those words? Then God said to me, "Your life is your wealth. Go tell the world about Jesus." Right then, from where I sit, I uttered a prayer. "Lord, here is my life, my wealth. I'll honor you with my life. I'll become your missionary." I was 15 years old then. Church, brothers and sisters in the Lord, would you pause for a moment and think of how the Lord has blessed you richly with wealth in different forms. Think of your wealth in terms of time, talents, skills, finances, material blessings, or your own life. In what way have you been using them to honor the Lord? Would you ask him seriously this question? "Lord, in what way you want me to honor you with my wealth?" What answer did you hear from him? Should you have heard him, please speak to him now. Say, "Lord, here is my so-and-so, my wealth. I will honor you with this wealth." If you have not heard him yet, continue asking him that question. Listen to me. He will reveal his will to you. 15 years after God revealed his will for me, I found myself in a village of the Manobo people in the Philippines, in Mindanao Island. I became a missionary with OMF International. I was so happy. I am now a missionary. I've gotten news to tell the Manobo people about Jesus, about God's love for them. I'm going to tell them that life is death when not lived in Christ. I was so excited. But the truth is, I cannot stand living among the Manobo people. 2 weeks passed by. I didn't like anything and everything I see. I didn't like what I see. I didn't like what I hear, what I feel, what everything. The village is so dirty. Almost there was no clean ground to step on. Everywhere I go, I could see dirt from human and from animals. And I said, "Lord, I cannot stand this. The people were so rude. Children were so unruly and disciplined. They tried everything I have, my clothes, my food, my soap, and my toothbrush." And I said, "Lord, I cannot take it. I don't like it here. I don't like these people. I don't like these children. I just have no love for them. Yet I was called to be a missionary. I struggled and I said, I better go home. Then another problem came. The only water pump from deep well in the village broke. And I said, Lord, no clean water. What do I do? I cried. I was angry. Why so many problems, Lord? It seemed that I should really go home. But then I saw the sky was cloudy and I said, okay, it will rain. So I started to get myself prepared to collect rain water when it comes. But the day passed by and the rain didn't come. I said, God, enough. Tomorrow I'm going home. I was getting ready to leave the following morning. I was having my breakfast when I saw from a far distance a dozen of kids were coming towards my house. And I said, Lord, I don't like these kids. Why are they coming towards my house? Don't bring them here anymore. Yet the kids came and they made their own way into my house. Then they said, we will help you to fetch water from the river. And I said, good idea. I need to take a bath before I go home. So we went. We walked through the path for an hour. Then we reached into a small river, a creek. Then the children dived into the creek. And I was sitting by the creek bank, watching them playing so happily. Then God spoke to me, bathe them. No, God, I can't do that. The second time, God spoke more commanding, bathe them. And I said, no, God, I cannot even see them. I don't like seeing them, let alone touching them. But then the third time, God said to me, bathe them. You don't like them because they are smelly and dirty. Bathe them. At that, I couldn't resist anymore. I went into the creek. I took one girl, bathed her, shampooed her using my own shampoo and soap. They don't have that kind of things. And at that particular moment, God spoke to me again, saying, you are also dirty and smelly before me for your sin. But I have given you Jesus Christ to die for you. That's the reason I can accept you. I love you. And I love these children too. So you should stay. How can they know that I love them, that Jesus has died for them, if you don't want to stay? At that particular moment, I realized I am a sinner. I have become so selfish. I just wanted my comfort. In that middle of the creek, I offer my life to the Lord. Father, forgive me. I am a sinner. I am dirty and smelly for sin. Here is my life. I give to you. Here is my heart. Fill it with your love, that I may love these children, that I may love the people in this community. After that prayer, I looked to the children, and I felt something took place in me. God changed me. There was an indescribable love I have in my heart for the children, and I started to feel I love it to be there, to stay with them. I love not only the children, but the entire Manobo people. God changed my heart. God gave me his heart. It is only with God's love that we can continue serving him. God changed me. I went home different person, and the rest was a history. My missionary service among the Manobo people lasted for 17 years, from zero believer God has raised up for himself not just believers, but believers available for God's mission. 8 villages turned to Jesus. Local churches were established. Community leaders gave their life to God's service. So in 2018, we handed over the ministry responsibility into the hands of the local Manobo people. Manobo believers grew in their faith. Until today, they send out missionaries to villages further into the jungle, places that I had never been before. It would take me 3 days to reach to the villages in the middle of the jungle. Stories about how God's love shared and experienced among the Manobo people, I wrote in 2 books and have been translated in other languages. Yet, the story of God's love for mankind didn't end in the writing, didn't end in the book I have written. Thousands of other unreached people, groups, were waiting to experience God's love, and I longed to go to them too. So I asked God, what's next? Where do you want me to go? God answered, go back to Nias, to your home island. If you go now to the mission field as a missionary, it will be only you going. If you go back to Nias, hundreds of missionaries will go out to the mission field. I knew God has given me a new task. I went back to my home island, Nias Island. God put in my heart to start a new ministry to prepare Nias for God's global mission. By God's grace, I initiated a foundation called Chalice, Channel of Love Sowers, Chalice for short. And back then, I needed a place to run this ministry. We need a center, a ministry center. But where to get money from? I was all alone then. This ministry was not known to anybody. Where do I get money? What do I do, Lord? I asked God again. We certainly need a building. I cried to God for provision. Show me your way, O God. And there was a time I got an opportunity to study in Singapore Bible College in Singapore for 1 year. That time, God showed me his way. He said to me, use your talents and use your gift, your skills, and your time. I meditated on that God's word. So I remembered I know how to massage. So I offered my friends, the school communities, my fellow students, and my lecturers, I offered them massage for fee. And I said to myself, I will never use any money I earn from this for my own thing. I will not use it. I will collect everything. And when I go home, I will put it in the fund, in the building funds. And that seemed not to be enough because, yeah, students cannot pay me much for the massage I offer them. My lecturers would give more, but not the students. Some of the students cannot pay either, but I just offered them my service. And I also applied to the canteen in the school. They gave students opportunity to wash dishes. So I washed dishes. I studied very hard so I could finish all my school assignments so I will have more time to massage more people and to do my washing dishes. A year later, time for me to go home after my 1 year study in Singapore Bible College. And I put all the money in the building funds. The Lord has blessed what I earned during my study time. People from different places, from different organizations, help us with the building. And now we have the ministry center like what you are seeing. In the ministry center, Chalice Ministry Center, we serve 18 of us all together. And we long to see a community that is restored to Christ, a blessing to the world's nation. By this, we mean we long to see God's work to bring the community we serve to a genuine faith in Christ and made them available for God's global mission. It is our hope to see God turn the entire Nias, the entire island, become a great missionary force to bring the gospel to the unreached people groups in the surrounding, in the neighboring places, in Indonesia, within our own island, to Sumatra, Java, Sulawesi, Kalimantan, Irian, and the other places in Indonesia. But not only that, we also long to go to the neighboring country, Malaysia, Cambodia, Brunei, and other places, even to the places in the 1040 windows, where the majority of the unreached people groups are. This is the vision that God has given us. Our goal is to see at least 150 missionaries would have been sent out from Nias to the world by the year 2037. 150 missionaries. This is not an absolute number. This is just to help us to remember that we have a great task to do, because it's been already over 150 years the gospel has entered our island. We owe God lots for his mercy to us. To reach to this vision, we see our mission is to facilitate the formation of professional missional generations who are committed to fulfill the Great Commission by actively engaged in frontline mission. We see ourselves to be channel of God's love to train the young people of Nias Island, that someday in Nias Island will be born generations who are aware of their responsibilities to join God in his mission to the world. We long to see that through our services will come forth men and women wholly committed to faith in Christ, live out their faith as they serve in the marketplace. They may be the goers or the senders or supporters, or to welcome people who come to Nias or elsewhere where this community will be, so that the salvation in Jesus Christ may reach every nation. Our ministry platform to do this is a non-formal school. God has given us the opportunity to formulate a school, a non-formal school we name Kreasi. In Kreasi, we teach our students some basic English to help them in their education in school. They still go to formal school. They go to formal school in the morning and they come to our place for English study. But we don't teach them only English. Kreasi is a community that contemplate and experience and bear witness of Jesus, of faith in Christ. Kreasi is actually an early mission equipping ministry. The children we have in our ministry are very small. The ranges are between 5 to 17 years. While they are still small and receptive to biblical teaching, we need to invest in their lives. Our children will inherit the earth. We need to equip them to be God's love sowers. In Kreasi, we also teach them how to live Christ-like character. We teach them how to pray for mission. We teach them how to give for mission. Right now, there are 380 students in Kreasi. They come from 40 different local churches. We don't intend to form a church for them or for us. But we send them back to their own church. Right now, churches in Yes don't talk about mission, but through these children, now and someday later on, people will talk about mission. In Kreasi, every day we ask and encourage the children to give from their pocket money, which is not very much, offering for mission. They put it in a box, and every 3 months we open up the box. And all what we have collected there, we send over to a missionary couple who is now serving in Kyrgyzstan, serving among a tribal people where there are zero believer. So with this missionary, we have Zoom meeting every 3 months. That's how we expose our children to pray for missionaries. And every day before English class starts, the first thing to do is to read a people profile from one of the unreached people groups from any place in the world. And after reading the profile, the children will pray for the salvation of the people. We hope that through this ministry, the children will be rooted firm in the Word of God and also in the mission work, that someday they will become missionary. To us, we see them as missionary. And even now, they go home to their own family and place. They talk about Jesus. They talk about unreached people group, word that unheard before in Nias. You saw them, you heard their voice. Please pray for them. Other ministry platform God has given us is seminars and workshop, as well as scholarship. We channel gifts to send NIAS young people to school so that they have their profession someday, and at the same time they offer their life to God to bear witness of faith in Jesus Christ. From time to time, we go to different schools to give a talk on a workshop as a way for us to mobilize more people, more schools, more young people of NIAS to go for mission. We have heard the word of God. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Israel. It is too light a thing for you to just think that I am now saved and enjoy life and ask blessings from the Lord. It is too light a thing for us to think just about our own people, NIAS people, but we should think of what the Lord has in heart for us. We need to reach out to the world. So at this time, I would like to ask you to please consider prayerfully in what way you may invest your wealth in the ministry we have over in NIAS so that the salvation of God will reach the end of the world. Please pray about this. Ask the Lord in what way, God, you want me to use the wealth that you have given me. We don't hesitate to share with you two of most pressing needs we have in the ministry at the moment. One is proper classroom for Kreasi. At this time, we don't have classrooms that is conducive for them. Every day in our dining table, after we have lunch, we need to dismantle the tables, we arrange them and turn it into classroom. And other classrooms will take place in any corner in our center. So we are thinking to have a better classroom for these children. For over the years, the past years, we have been praying for this. So would you write this down as one of your prayer requests to the Lord also, that God will provide good classrooms for these children. We aim to have even more than 500 children. Right now, God has given us 380 children. Before, we only have one shift a day. But because of these many children, because before we have only around 250 children, and God has added to the number. And yet, there are many children that we have refused to join us. There is a long queue for and many children and parents who want to enlist their children in this Kreasi non-formal school. We also long to have them to be trained in Christ-like life. So we ask you to pray that when we have good classroom for them, we will enroll even more children, even more than 500. So now we have to shift for them every day. And every shift will have around 120 children. We also have a very much need for Chalice operating cost. So please pray, join us in prayer that God will provide for us. Should God tell you to join us, invest in the life of the people over in Nias, please contact me or Desta. Our contact number is there on the screen. Thank you very much. May God bless us with his word. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.